News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Sir Keir Starmer has announced that he's going to resign as Prime Minister, and he set out a timetable for his departure from Downing Street. Meanwhile, his expected successor, Andy Burnham, was sworn in yesterday as an MP. Joining me now is James Price, former senior government special advisor with the Conservative Party. And James, your former party, the Tories, didn't exactly give Andy Burnham a warm welcome into Parliament yesterday. He got abused for everything from his suit to Monty Python quotes.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me on to talk to you and your listeners this morning. You're right. I think it was probably mostly in good taste, in good faith, when I think someone shouted, "He's not the Messiah." And Andy Burnham, in the first time I think maybe he's ever displayed or expressed any wit, replied with the reply from the Life of Brian movie and calling the person who said it a naughty boy. So that's a good start for Burnham, at least. But I think that's probably it's all going to go downhill from here for him.
Well, let's look at his route then to the prime ministership, because as I understand it, there are two possible options. One is that there is a contest, in which case, if he wins it, he's in office from the 1st of September. And the other is no contest and he gets in by mid-July.
You've got it exactly right. And I think at this point, it's fairly likely that there will be a coronation, to put it like that. His biggest challenger was Wes Streeting, the health secretary who resigned, trying to force Starmer out, an incredibly ambitious man. And Wes came out yesterday saying that he was going to back Andy Burnham for leader. And I think in his letter saying that on Twitter, he just about remembered to delete the sentence that said, "P.S. and please give me a job in the Treasury, Andy, for doing this." And it's probably the right thing to do, because if there had been a long drawn out contest, then you're going to see the different candidates have to appeal to the left of the Labour Party. As far as I'm concerned, they're all on the left, but they have to extract more and more concessions, more spending that Britain cannot afford at the moment. And so maybe a swift coronation like this is good from the point of view of the Treasury, at least.
There's not an argument, though, that you need to establish a mandate and that you need to see to have been blooded in that process. There's no advantage to that, because it is now one of many coronations we have had for the prime ministership in the last 10 years.
Oh, absolutely, there would be if I thought that there was going to be a decent and rigorous process of people of a broad spectrum of views. But if you consider that the entire 400-something plus membership of the Parliamentary Labour Party, that no one amongst them felt that they were capable of replacing Keir Starmer, and they had to go to a slightly middling former health secretary from 17 years ago who's been in a self-imposed exile as mayor of Manchester to do it, I've not got a huge amount of confidence in any of these people. This is, I think, part of the problem, that this is not the, although I would disagree with them, the relatively talented party of Tony Blair. These are people who are just not fit for purpose, and no one exemplified that more than Keir Starmer, who on paper looked like he might be able to do a decent job of it, but will go down as one of the least impressive and biggest failures, I think, ever to live in number 10 Downing Street.
Even with comparison to some of his recent predecessors, I think of Theresa May, name eludes me, woman who...
Liz Truss, you're thinking
you.
Of,
there
yeah.
There you go, indeed.
Well at least with Liz Truss, and I remember being there on her first day in office, I remember being there on her last day in office, inside the Cabinet Office as the Chief of Staff in there, so I know it was as painful... at least as anybody else does. At least with Truss, there was a plan. It was very poorly executed, but it was a recognition that Britain had had very sluggish economic growth for a very long time, and that there were powerful sort of entrenched forces in our bureaucracy. I'm not talking in a kind of conspiratorial sense, but in a way that our constitution has been gummed up by having to pay such obeisance to things like the ECHR and things like that. And she tried to break free of it. She obviously failed, and that was a big shame for all of us. But Starmer didn't even try and do that. The guy had 4 years in opposition and came in without a single plan. And you don't have to take my word for that. You can take the fact that he fired his first chief of staff, Sue Gray, whose job it was to come up with that plan. And he's not stopped firing people for his own failures ever since.
Indeed. And we have had members of his previous Labour advisors who have made similar points about the lack of the capacity to hit the ground running when he came in as Prime Minister. What about anybody's capacity to deliver in the current environment in the UK, whichever party or whichever leader it might be? Because the kind of fiscal corner that the UK is in at the moment, the kind of problems across the public sector, the lack of any economic growth, the catch-22 on immigration, and the general despondency and lethargy around politics, it looks like a Gordian knot for anybody.
Anton, I wish you were presenting on the BBC or on Sky or on GB News or something, because you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. And I wish that more British people were hearing people asking that question. I could sit here and enjoy myself having a go at Keir Starmer and the Labour Party, and I really would enjoy it. But you are right. It goes much deeper. The structural problems that we've got have cascading effects, exactly as you've said, down into the economy, down into the electorate as well. And my personal diagnosis of it, as someone who started off in politics as maybe a young girl with a dream, and God, you should see me now, is trying to get anything done inside our bureaucracy. I'm not as familiar with the Irish system of government, but I'll tell your listeners that when Keir Starmer came into office in 2024, only 200 people across the entirety of the British state changed jobs. There's 100 ministers and 100 special advisers who don't even have the authority to command civil servants to do anything. And everybody else is exactly the same. All the cabinet secretary, all the top brass and all the government departments were the same. And it's very difficult to get anything done with, as you say, the spending envelope that there is and the lack of desire to actually get economic growth going again. But also with, again, I say things like the ECHR, that means that we have been unable to deport even the very worst foreign criminals who've come into the country and committed heinous crimes that I won't mention this time of morning. Within days of arrival, their rights have been trumped over and above the victims of people who've suffered that. And until you change that at a fundamental constitutional level, of which Brexit, I think, was obviously, we're talking 10 years on, was only a part of that, because we're still stuck in this sort of living document of the ECHR, we're not going to get that done. And I'm not sure there are very many people on the left who've got the stomach to say that to their supporters.
James, thank you very much. James Price, former senior government special advisor with the Conservative Party. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to former Minister for Foreign Affairs and former Taoiseach Simon Coveney about the impact of Brexit, because, of course, today is 10 years on from what many analysts in the UK have assessed as being an act of willful self-harm on the part of the United Kingdom. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.